To unpack the real issues affecting the Tasman nations, this is Trad Tasman Talk. Jointly produced by theunshackled.net and whiteminds.nz. Now here's Tim Wilms in Australia and Dewey DeBoer in New Zealand.
Hello and welcome to Trad Tasman Talk on this Friday, the 13th of November, 2020. A lot of people have been afraid about what could happen on this Friday, the 13th in 2020. So far, it's been good news, especially here in Melbourne, where we're on the path to COVID eradication, which is what New Zealand has achieved, hasn't it?
That's right. We did until about probably a week or two ago, really, where the Defence Force had been doing face-to-face meetings with quarantine staff. They picked up a case or two of the virus and spread it around the community. We've actually had one or two in Wellington, rather isolated, and then we had a mystery case in Auckland this week. Now, everybody was expecting some bad news on this Friday the 13th, but instead we had quite a good press conference. You know, the press conferences are going to be good if Jacinda Ardern and Ashley Bloomfield are not there. So if Jacinda doesn't show up, if Ashley doesn't show up, then you know the news can't be that bad, because if it were something extraordinary that they were going to take credit for, like a new lockdown, then they would front up for that. What we have had instead is just the announcement that the Auckland case is connected to the Defence Force cluster as well. So the it's just the New Zealand Army spreading a bioweapon around New Zealand. That's the only problem we have at the moment.
And of course, we're here in Melbourne. The state Andrews government has been lambasted for their refusal to use the Australian Defence Force for hotel quarantine, like they'd been used in other states. But it sounds like they shouldn't have called the New Zealand Defence Force.
I believe this was sort of inevitable. Really, we had one or two border staff pick up the flu. Over the past few months, there have been, it was the inevitable case of somebody in the isolation management getting just a little bit lax. And it seems that happened in the Defence Force. Largely, this is due to luck. That's the way that they run our borders. A lot of good luck. And it sort of ran out, but I think they have managed to stabilise. They've managed to sort of get lucky again, even on this supposedly unlucky day. The number of contacts they claim to have for this this lady, who I believe is Asian, sound like an exchange student who's here and working at a local sort of superette or dairy. She showed up for work. She was actually feeling quite good. Said she was feeling fine. She went to work. The media reported that. She had been, her employer had asked her to come to work, and she had been basically ordered to come to work even though she was sick and even though they knew that she hadn't had a response, hadn't had her test back. But that seems to have been a lot of fake news, because they've now hired lawyers to go after perhaps the media, perhaps the Ministry of Health, and say, no, you know, the employer didn't even know that this woman had a test. This woman had went to the doctor, she got a test, she didn't even think she had COVID-19 because she felt mostly okay, and she did show up for work once and was wearing a mask. Then there were various other rumors, such as saying she'd gone to the university and she'd gone around to this half a dozen places. Most of that seems to have been people spreading rumors, and a lot of that is being denied now. So we shall see how this develops. And perhaps next week things will be more explosive, or everything will go back to normal, as I suspect likely it will, that we will see basically New Zealand continue to be relatively open and free. Although a lot of people are predicting the inevitable Christmas lockdown that we have seen in other parts of the Western world. The government wants to get more authoritarian, wants to lock people down. But I've always said on the show, Jacinda wants to be loved. And to get to do something that unpopular without having what she may see as no other alternative, or where the alternative is less likely to be less popular, for instance, in the media terms on her for not locking down. She definitely would. But other than that, I don't believe she would rush into this if it could be avoided. And, you know, small island nation, we should be able to continue our lucky border streaks. And it seems like this one is under control.
Well, if she did implement another national alert level 4 lockdown, the slogan could be being cruel to be kind, given that she's known as the kind leader.
Absolutely. They have, you know, obviously the slogan of kindness has gone a little bit sour today with the business that this woman worked for being harassed, being sent you know, horrible messages. The media turning
droids.
Up. That's right. Being kind with anger and hatred, and the media obviously turning up to these a lot of these places to ask people how they you know, if they've been exposed to the virus without the Ministry of Health showing up. So it's the usual level of government incompetency going on. But like I said, it's all down to luck, and we seem to not have run out. Oh, I've seen in the chat here, it's World Kindness Day today. So it is Jacinda's favorite day, Friday the 13th, World Kindness Day. I think it's perfect.
Well, the last outbreak that we had here in Melbourne, the North Metro outbreak, the reason why that continued was due to a stuff up in Department of Health and Human Services contact tracing when a child who was a close contact was given the okay to go back to school when they shouldn't have been. And of course, there was a lot of a chatter that the families in that cluster who of ethnic background weren't following the directions, but no, they came out in the media and said, no, we were given the wrong advice or wrong instruction.
Something that's happened here as well. They've said their translation services were not quite right, and there were mistranslations and miscommunications. So it seems to be as usual, as I've said, government, the usual level of competency that you would expect from your government.
Well, better news the past 2 weeks here in Victoria, where we've had zero daily new cases. So we've gone fortnight with no new cases. We're down to 3 statewide now. The days
that
of
that means
zero...
that you must be enjoying your freedom, right?
Well, we've got to wait until November the 22nd, Dan Andrews said, for us to take the last step in his roadmap to reopening. This is it here. So we're in the third step at the moment. We've got to wait until the last step for us to have 10 people at our private residence and 50 people outside. There's still no end date on until when we're not forced to wear face masks whenever we're outside, because I've spoken.
Can you bring that back up? I love the fact that it's his last step, but the last step is not the last step. Beyond the last step, you have COVID normal. And then beyond that, there is no normal. There is no normal.
The normal comes with the vaccine, because Dan Andrews said today 14 days without any new cases is not the same as a vaccine. The virus is still lurking.
Keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Yeah. As we've seen with New Zealand, for all we know, we could be in lockdown number 3. By the time that we do the show next week. They just keep doing it over and over and over again until Joe Biden somehow manages to actually become president-elect, and then actually become president, and then actually roll out the vaccine. So we have to wait for at least a few more months, which could mean another series or two of lockdowns before they kind of stabilize the Joe Biden situation and get the vaccine.
100 years without a Spanish flu outbreak is not the same as a vaccine.
That's right. Yeah, certainly. And that's certainly, that's obviously the Spanish flu was actually bad. People would contract it, and we'd be dead a few hours later. And now we have a case here in New Zealand where New Zealand is panicking. The fear is spreading. Everybody's looking for the next little bit of information. Rumors are spreading everywhere. People are going crazy just because a lady who had to get tested to know she was sick has tested positive.
Yes, we're still having here in Victoria between 10,000 and 20,000 tests per day, and they're still not finding like one needle in that haystack. There was a lady who tested positive midweek, but that was a case of viral shedding because she tested positive back in August. Now, the zero...
Once days, positive, always positive.
Yeah. But she's not infectious, apparently. Yeah, you can still have viral shedding, but you're not infectious. The 0 days here in Victoria are called donut days. And there's this meme that's been going around since Dan Andrews is not satisfied with 14 donut days in a row. So, you like donuts? Well, have all the donuts in the world! Ah-ha! And, of course, that is taken from Homer Simpson being in hell in one of the Simpsons Halloween episodes where he sells his soul for a donut, and so he ends up in hell, and so he's offered all the donuts in the world, and he eats them all, and the people in hell are perplexed that he hasn't gone insane. That would probably be the same as Dan Andrews. He'd be consuming all these donut days of zero, but he'd still want more.
Thank you for explaining the connection for those of us who don't watch the Simpsons, aren't familiar with it, but I could see from the template that was definitely that show. And I do feel like trading your soul for a donut perhaps is an apt metaphor for COVID-19, where we trade our souls, trade our freedoms, trade everything just to get some donut days, just to
trade liberty for security.
Absolutely.
Which is basically the ultimate freedom sin.
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
Dan Andrews, he's only doing the press conferences a couple of days a week. He's leaving it other days to his new health minister, Martin Foley, and they're doing it at different locations now. So there's no longer the purple stage, although he is keeping that press conference room for further announcements about relaxation of restrictions, but the purple's been ditched for a white now with the slogan "Stay safe, stay open." The previous slogan was "Keeping staying apart keeps us together."
That's right. The most Orwellian slogans that you could ever have a leader put up on, unironically.
Yes, but obviously it's a good, or you'd say marketing change, because people associated the purple backdrop with bad news, because that's when Dan got up and announced all the lockdowns and that there were several hundred cases per day. And so this white backdrop, it's like, we're on the path to COVID normal. And yeah, I'm one of those people who's like traumatized by the purple backdrop. So I actually like this, even though it's a PR exercise.
Mm-hmm. Well, the PR works and the programming works, and installing these ideas and making these associations in people's brains really does work. So it's quite... it's good to be aware of it, certainly, even though you can't help yourself. And you're like, oh, that looks really nice because you've been programmed.
Yeah. Nationwide, our coronavirus curve has been flat for a very long time now, and most of the new cases now are in hotel quarantine. Because New South Wales, they've gone 5 days without community transmission now. So it looks like, even though it's not of course it's not the official strategy of National Cabinet elimination, it's suppression, but pretty much looks like they've been aiming for elimination. Well, at least the state premiers have been, and as you can see, 23 in hospital nationwide and zero in intensive care.
And one of the things that the New Zealand Ministry of Health has never done is release graphs. We only get ugly looking tables. And so perhaps that was a clever idea, because people like to look at these graphs in Australia. So you're always looking at your graphs. But here in New Zealand, we don't get it. We don't get any graphs. So we just have several in quarantine all the time. We have one in Auckland, one in Wellington, and nobody's really paying much attention to it outside, obviously, of the press conferences. But I noticed the viewership, for instance, on the Radio New Zealand live broadcast today was technically an important announcement. But yet, because it was Chris Hipkins and some other lady whose name nobody can remember from the Ministry of Health, only like 1,000 people showed up to watch it. Whereas if you had Jacinda Ardern and Ashley Bloomfield, you would have tens of thousands of people watching it. So the kind of difference to keeping people's attentions and focus based on the graphics or the people that they're using to display the information and to convey the information actually makes quite a big difference in terms of how tuned in people stay, and they actually modulate that based on how tuned in they want people to be as well.
Yes, because as I said, PR exercise, they put Chris Hipkins up there to so people see him. It's like, oh, it can't be that bad of news, otherwise Jacinta would be up there.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I've just been going through the change in backdrops for our daily coronavirus briefings. Yep. Now, Friday the 13th November today was another National Cabinet meeting, and our Prime Minister Scott Morrison, he is the biggest lover of the graphs. And we used to have a roadmap to a COVID-safe Australia. Now it's a roadmap to a COVID-normal Australia.
Like I said, there is no normal. There is only the COVID normal.
Yeah, so we've got a third step here to COVID normal with the target Christmas 2020. So it says here, no restrictions on gatherings, stay 1.5 metres apart, stay home if unwell and get tested. Unless otherwise advised by public health advice, return to your workplace. And then it goes to cafes and hospitalities. All venues, including food courts, are open for dining, adhering to social distancing between groups. Venues record contact details of patrons for contact tracing purposes. That's the same with weddings and funerals and accommodation. So COVID normal is basically just normal with surveillance, which is what I previously said.
That's what it's like in New Zealand as well. It's the vigilance, and obviously the COVID Act stays in place. Police emergency powers stay in place. The emergency powers that the Director General of Health in New Zealand has, all of that stays in place with level one. What was fascinating today to see, because they had recommended the Auckland CBD be shut down, basically. They said, everyone, stay out of the Auckland CBD. If you can work from home, don't come in. I saw the media reporting, and if you're on public transport, wear a mask. We're not shifting to level two. It's not mandatory. Please wear a mask. I saw the media complaining today that they had been monitoring the trains and that there were not very many people wearing masks.
That's what our media has done here in Melbourne. When it's been a hot day, people at the beach with no masks on. Mm-hmm. They say public health officials are terrified. And then 2 weeks later, there's been no beach.
No change. Certainly,
because it's warm here at the moment. You might be able to hear the fan I've got on in the background because I get naturally hot. But I call this virus frying weather. And obviously,
one of the connections that's been made that we've never really discussed on the show, I suppose, because it's never been relevant to Australia or New Zealand, has been that tests have shown upwards of 80% of those admitted to hospital have vitamin D deficiency. Right, it is if you're not getting enough sunlight, you're not spending enough time outside. Well, that's what makes you susceptible to illness. One of the more important things that you can do alongside exercise, a healthy diet, healthy living, exercise well, go outside, get lots of sun. All of those things are going to keep you safe from all the pathogens out there.
Which is why in Victoria we were imprisoned in our homes for 23 hours a day.
Definitely.
But Northern Hemisphere, Europe and North America, they're dealing with their second wave because they're going into winter, as Joe Biden called it, a dark winter.
That's right. It's going to be a long, dark winter. Yes.
And now that Biden has been declared president-elect by the Fox News and CNN decision desks, all the governors now are enacting more coronavirus restrictions. They feel emboldened to.
Absolutely, they certainly do. And I was just hearing New York, California, and I suspect many others are already enacting crackdowns on Christmas, forbidding people to gather with their families or too many families together. And the authoritarianism is, they love it. If you've got power, power will corrupt. And even the Republican governments, governors are most certainly not immune to that. And if Biden certainly does get his president-elect status for real, you can bet that even many Republicans will go right along with it.
Yeah, because he said he wanted a 2-month national mask mandate, which would actually be unconstitutional.
That's right, and a 3 or 4 week lockdown on it goes. Because as I said on last week's show, they have to emulate the CCP model, right? You have to.
Oh, and also the Melbourne model as well. We followed the CCP Wuhan model.
The Wuhan model, and only then will the angry Chinese gods be appeased. The CCP communist gods will shine favorably on your nation if you follow their model of worship.
Anthony Fauci, he loved what Melbourne had done in eliminating the virus through shutting down the economy in a police state.
Because that
is part of the deal about lockdowns. It's not just a word. For them to actually be lockdowns, you've got to have a police state, as we did. We still have to a significant degree here in Victoria, and got to shut down most of the economy, because if we didn't, our health system would have been overwhelmed. Because look at this ICU graph during the second wave of the pandemic, the COVID workload in red, and the total workload.
Yes, it would have been a total disaster.
Yes, and it's as you can see, it's there's a little bit of change in October now, but yeah.
I'm seeing here from Dr. Foster, which I will read out here. Incredible statement by some Dem experts that a 4 to 6 week lockdown will stimulate the economy. And that's the Keynesian economics there with regards to the war, saying war is good for the economy. Or as those of us who have any knowledge in Austrian economics will know, the broken window fallacy. Essentially, if you have a war, if you have an earthquake, or if you have a massive lockdown, then hey, that's going to be great. That's going to stimulate the economy, and people are going to have to rebuild things, and on it goes. Of course, it's a total lie, and it just you have to waste resources redoing what you've already done. And we see there as well from the Red Pill Crypto Shark. Welcome to the Great Reset. And that is
Austrian economics talks about a economic reset by just stopping printing money.
That's just stop printing money. Yes, certainly. And
yes, which all the businesses that are unsustainable in a legitimate economy, they all fail, and you only get reset actual productive businesses that thrive, and you have capital going to the right sources. That's a good economic reset.
Absolutely, and that is a good shift to a slightly different topic. Although I'll do a bit of a segue first. I should remind everyone that we do have the Enthropy link in the description. If you want to send through a super chat, you have that opportunity. And we're going to go to the show's going to finish 10 minutes early. I've got some an early start tomorrow. I've got lots of things to do, and so I'm going to wrap this up a little bit early. So we're going to start Q&A slightly earlier as well. So send through your questions and your super chats, and we'll get through to those in about 10 or 15 minutes probably. But the printing money, we actually had a podcast. We have an Australian podcaster in New Zealand, Leighton Smith, who did radio for a long time. He runs New Zealand's number one podcast. He had Rodney Hyde on his podcast this week. And Rodney Hyde, as many people will remember, was once the leader of the ACT Party that did quite well at the previous election here. He led it during one of its lowest times, where he was the only MP for a while. And he was on that podcast, and he was actually talking about sound money, which is not something you hear about often. The I'm remembering one of his comments where he said, basically, he says money is dishonest in the sense that we have money today that's centrally controlled by the government, and they print as much of it as they would like. And here in New Zealand, they've just been printing over 100 billion, I believe, $120 billion in total that they have created out of thin air. And they set the supply, they set the value of this money, and obviously use it to generate insane amounts of debt. Whereas if you had a proper sound money system along the Austrian model, you would have, you know, money is a medium of exchange, and people would use something that has, you know, a stable value, such as gold. Often the gold standard becomes the default, which we have seen in throughout the world, throughout history in most countries, something that maintains a reasonable, its store of value reasonably well, and that people can use as an exchange of value and an exchange of their labor, rather than having the government dishonestly produce debt for, and of course manipulate people into acquiring that debt.
Yeah, or as our Federal Treasurer Josh Frydenberg calls printing money, liquidity. That's what he calls it.
Water.
Now, we touched on last week about how after the US election, then news started to filter through that there's been progress on the vaccines. First, there was that the Oxford University vaccine. Yeah, could be ready by Christmas. And CSL, which is a pharmaceuticals company in Melbourne, has already started to produce the Oxford University vaccine, even though it hasn't completed stage three clinical trials and hasn't been approved by a Therapeutic Goods Administration. They're already starting to make it. And then, of course, there was the news after the decision desk declared Biden president-elect that the Pfizer vaccine was 90% mm-hmm. effective. And according to one participant, after you have the vaccine, it feels like you've got a severe hangover for 3 days, but he still said it was good.
As I've been saying since the beginning, it's all about the gin and the quinine in the gin, and so that's probably what they're injecting you, they're injecting pure gin into your veins, which may explain the hangover.
Another development at National Cabinet today was a national vaccination strategy, because we've locked in our Morrison government has locked in four vaccines to get supply of, which will be free and voluntary for all Australians who want it, wink, wink. and that includes the Oxford and Pfizer vaccine. So this is another infographic that Scott Morrison put out today. So it's got a National Cabinet timeline here. So they're working on a national contact tracing system, which is going to be led by Dr. Alan Finkel, who's the former head of the CSIRO. And it obviously talks about wastewater testing, which is testing our poo, and also vaccine development and testing.
Excellent. All I want for Christmas is a vaccine, right? You're gonna have this. The government Santas, they can have men in red suits going around to deliver you your vaccine.
And they've got this traffic light classification for cases now. So they seem to have the most productive national cabinet meeting they've had in a while. And of course, they've committed to reopening the borders by Christmas. Except Western Australia, internal borders. Hmm. Even though Western Australia
has seceded, something we've discussed every single week on the show. They're not coming back, Tim. I'm sorry, they're gone.
Even though from midnight tonight, Western Australia is moving to a controlled interstate border, which basically means anyone can go to WA from Australia except for Victorians and New South Wales people. They'll have to quarantine for 14 days.
Given to the camps. They keep the Victorians in the camps.
Oh, no, at a suitable venue. That's what it says now. So it doesn't have to be a hotel. Though Western Australia has the steepest fines for breaching quarantine of $50,000. But given that Victoria and New South Wales are also on the path to elimination, you'd assume that WA will open anyway by Christmas, but they just are still maintaining they have their own border approach. And Mark McGowan has said, our border is still going to be controlled, even if it is open.
Well, that's what borders truly are. They're sort of, you know, always controlled, and even when they are open. But interstate borders in Australia are not supposed to function like that. Although it seems the constitution is not likely to be upheld in that regard.
Well, it wasn't last Friday. A very limited ruling that basically the WA Public Health Act was consistent with the constitution. And of course, the WA Public Health Act is the worst of all the public health acts in all the states and territories. You might have seen it circulating around that they can remove your underwear to force vaccinate you.
I didn't see that. I vaguely remember you telling me this. Yes.
Yes.
We've got a good comment here from Bieber Anti-Bullying. Borders are awesome and people love them. Definitely. I believe borders have never been more popular, especially in Western Australia. They're still very popular. In New Zealand, they are still very, very popular. So it's a good year to love borders.
Well, yes, I'm for strong borders between countries, but obviously this year things have gone a bit further with internal borders within Australia, and I've said if this is going to be the case, we've got to have a conversation if Australia is going to continue or we're just going to go back to a collection of individual states. That hasn't happened. It's just these premiers have decided we'll close the borders in emergency now, and eventually we'll reopen them. South Australia, they announced today that they'd be removing travel restrictions from Victoria from December 1st. The New South Wales border is opening to Victorians on November 23rd. And then also on the 1st of December, standing hospitality, there will be a government says contract tracing here, check-in system which certain businesses will need to use. This includes pubs, clubs, restaurants, cafes, and other licensed venues. Once it's available and businesses have implemented it, standing hospitality will be allowed to resume immediately, because you have to sit down. Apparently you could get the, even though South Australia has basically eliminated the virus, you can get it standing up, but not
not sitting down. Definitely. Yeah. Coming back to that that graphic there, that spelling mistake is again the level of competency that you would expect from your government with their multi-million-dollar brochure. Has not been proofread properly.
Oh, well, hang on. They only announced it today. So, Dan announces a change in restrictions. It takes the DHHS website a couple of days to update it again and fix all of the glitches which have the old restrictions there. Yeah.
And where would we, if it were, I need to remember who said this was but the only thing that saves us from the bureaucracy is its inefficiency, and I believe it was I can't remember who to attribute that quote to, but I'm sure somebody will correct me or provide an attribution for that in the chat. But I believe it was said by one of the early industrializers, one of the big factory men in America or the UK.
Queensland also today they announced an update from 4 p.m. 17th of November, which is, I'll just get this right with my calendar, that's next Tuesday. So gatherings can increase in homes and public spaces from 40 to 50 people. Indoor premises, they go from one person per 4 square meters to one person per 2 square meter. Weddings can have up to 200 people, and all guests can dance both indoors and outdoors, because, of course, dancing along with singing, that spreads coronavirus droplets. Up to 200 can attend a funeral. Indoor events, seated ticketed venues such as the State of Origin, can go from 50% to 100% capacity with patrons to wear masks upon entry and exit. Outdoor events can increase from 1,000 to 1,500 with a COVID-safe event checklist. And it mentions about open-air stadiums as well to 100%. And outdoor dancing is now allowed as well. They review their hotspot definitions at the start of every month. So we'll know at the beginning of December if Greater Sydney siders and Victorians will be allowed in. I haven't mentioned that the Ring of Steel separating Melburnians and regional Victorians has now been removed. This weekend, everyone's expecting a flood to the regions, get out of Melbourne. Apparently, there's going to be a police operation in popular tourist spots to monitor bad behaviour and enforce mask mandates.
And we saw that flood to the regions happen over the last few months here in New Zealand now, with the house prices skyrocketing throughout all of New Zealand. We are possibly estimating a 10% increase in house prices in New Zealand this year. And that's basically because of the $120 billion that has been pumped into the housing market, $120 worth of debt. And that's where New Zealand's the economy is not in as bad shape as it might have been. You know, our GDP numbers are looking good. They're only down by a couple of percentage points, and it's all just debt being pumped into the housing market. And you brought up that comment there. You could put that back. The climate change one, I think, is a good.
Yeah,
yeah. The COVID is new climate change of fear, and certainly that is. COVID temporarily replaced climate change.
We
will go back to climate change. COVID will be the solution to climate change.
Well, coincidentally, today, there was a joint report by CSIRO and the Bureau of Meteorology warning about a hotter climate. This is another infographic. So global temperature continue to rise. Sea level rise to continue, marine heat waves to be more frequent and intense, warmer with more heat waves, fewer cooler days. I guess that'll all fry the viruses. Fewer tropical cyclones, but a greater proportion of high intensity storms. Cool season rainfall decline in southern and eastern Australia to continue. That's what Tim Flannery said in, 2007? But heavy rainfall to become more intense. So we're still going to get rainfall.
But you'll get more fire. You'll get more cool. You'll get less cyclones. You'll get more heat. It's all a wonderful amount of sense to me.
Yeah. So longer fire season and more dangerous fire weather. We shall see if there's going to be another black summer. It's mid-November now, and we've had a few bushfires, but they've been extremely mild and easily been controlled. No properties have been threatened, haven't got out of control, but we shall see if it's a COVID normal Christmas.
Certainly. If you've got questions, now is the time to put them into the chat. We will try and answer a few of them as well. One question I can already see in there from Texas Norton's NZ. Anyone else enjoying a Corona and lime? I believe he means a Corona. No, but gin and tonic is where it's at, because the gin and tonic keeps the Corona and lime away.
That was in the early days of the pandemic during the panic buying. That was the biggest, that nobody was buying the Corona.
It was all you could get boxes of Corona, certainly. One last item of New Zealand news while we are waiting for any more questions to come in. Now, we'd been talking about borders before. We actually have a real problem in New Zealand now. Perhaps Tim can bring it up into one of these stories up on the screen. The fields of courgettes go to waste because growers can't get workers. And this is in Northland, which is one of the highest unemployment rates in New Zealand. And we are seeing that fruit and vegetables are going to waste. They're rotting. And the workers are saying that they cannot get landowners, the farmers, the growers, and the orchards are saying they cannot get enough workers to pick all of their fruit and vegetables. There is the inevitable response from the left that, hey, you need to pick those yourself. Farmers need to work harder, and you got to pick your fruit yourself. Or that you need to pay people more to pick them and provide better conditions. And obviously, the response from the globalists, and that includes the sort of the libertarian, any kind of liberal or neoliberal, as they like to call it, national and ACT Party in New Zealand. We need to get more immigrant workers. We need to open the borders, and the country must be flooded with immigrant workers again, so that we can have cheap wage slaves to pick these crops for us. I believe that it was best put, though, by New Zealand's leading welfare blogger or blogger about welfare and the state of welfare in New Zealand, Lindsay Mitchell. And she basically said that, this is obviously just insane, because we're paying thousands of people and now tens and even hundreds of thousands of people more to do absolutely nothing. The benefits are up, people are being paid to sit at home, or being paid to, basically being paid to commit crime, because crime rates are still going up, even though benefits are also going up. So it's absolute insanity what we're doing here in New Zealand, where we obviously have the people to work in these fields, but the left-wing government says, no, people need to sit down and get lots of benefits, and people need to be, they need to be paid $150 an hour to pick fruit, so that you've got to pay, $20 for your avocado at the supermarket. Or then the only alternative that we ever hear from the other side becomes, we just need tons more minimum wage immigrant workers. So, but yes, the solution obviously is, we have the people, we just need to stop paying them to do nothing. And that should be it. And I see here in the chat actually a comment there from Kieran saying, correct, I would make more money unemployed than working. And that's essentially the problem. You in New Zealand, you will get paid more money to just sit there and do nothing than you will get paid to get up off your backside and to pick some courgettes.
Well, one of the developments in federal parliament this week, when the pandemic hit and the lockdowns were enforced, the Morrison government, they doubled the New Start allowance, which is our dole, and renamed it job seeker, and then of course there's the job keeper,
the job keeper to keep you sitting at home. That's what it'll turn into.
This week, the Morrison government, they announced that they will be reducing it here. So this is they're cutting it from, if I get it here, but so. Yeah, well, I won't get, but yeah, it's just being reduced. I'm not going to be able to figure out
That's thing. That's back. I don't expect you to find that. Right.
Yeah,
right.
It was one of those things. Well, now that you mention it, there's this, and of course the left and the social welfare lobbies say, oh, you're cutting support during the pandemic. No, this is to help help people back to work again. Because as Kieran pointed out, you don't want it a situation where it's easier for people to be on the dole than working.
Mm-hmm, certainly. We've got a question here from Origin. This was a couple of minutes ago, if Tim can find it. Are monolingual signs racist? And that is a reference to a news item that we had today with the new co-leader of the Māori Party, and I'm afraid I forget his name because he's only just taken over, has said that road signs are racist. That's his The first thing I believe that he has commented on since getting into Parliament is to point out that the most pressing issue for Māori people in this country is the oppression by monolingual, by English road signs, and that if only we could translate the road signs into Māori, then all of the social ills and the healing can begin if we could just get rid of those racist road signs.
It's always the case with the way to eliminate racism or disadvantage amongst a racial group is not to actually do a dedicated economic program. It's to just do something virtue signaling because exactly. It's easier.
That's right. It certainly is, and it's sad. It will be. There used to be, and there have been, obviously. Politicians, including unpopular ones such as Winston Peters, who are Māori, and they have in fact advocated for that, to say no, you know, we need economic growth. You need to get to work. We need self empowerment and individual responsibility is actually how we're going to improve socioeconomic outcomes, and we're not going to do it by sitting around moaning about racist road signs or other kinds of virtue signaling programs. And yes, we could fault him for just about everything else, but that was certainly something that Winston Peters was correct about.
Now, you talked about how there's that push to get migrant workers in to pick the fruit. Obviously, in Australia, the universities are keen to get the international students back, but Scott Morrison has said, no, we want to get Australians back home first, because there's still a lot of Australians trapped overseas, I would say a sensible policy, Australians first. Although we do have still the international travel ban, where Australians can't leave the country unless you get an exemption from the federal government, Scott Morrison is going to exempt himself. He's going to Japan. Oh. And then Port Moresby, which is in Papua.
Amy will be jealous. You know.
But he's going to do mandatory 2-week isolation at the lodge when he arrives back, saying, so, you know, no special circumstances for me, even though he's permitted himself to travel. A lot of the Australian journalists were allowed over to the US for the US election. Chris Kenny, Sky News host, he was over there for the US election. He's been doing his Kenny report this week from his hotel quarantine in Sydney. And he said that he set up all the live stuff himself, so they can he can just talk to the camera, and the Sky News Centre does all the rest. But why can't the rest of Australians, if they choose to go overseas, if they come back, they've got to do that mandatory 2-week isolation? Why is there this blanket ban?
Exactly. I believe Australia is, in fact, one of the few countries in the world with such a blanket ban. New Zealand does not have it. I know of many New Zealanders who go overseas and they come back and they pay the quarantine fee, or I believe there's some loophole where if you're committed to staying in New Zealand longer than a certain amount of time before leaving again, then you don't have to pay the fee and so on. But there are plenty of New Zealanders going in and out, backwards and forwards, through the quarantine camps that we have in Auckland, that have been back in the news again, obviously, with the recent cases that may have been connected to them. Although a lot of that was simply fake news, hearsay and rumors, because the case was not connected to those camps. It was connected to the Defence Force, of course.
Though Scott Morrison, he has hinted that with COVID-free nations, there could be a travel bubble arrangement. Obviously, we have the one-way Trans-Tasman bubble where New Zealanders can come to Australia. He's talked about Singapore and Taiwan, and he even this week amazingly said that parts of China could be part of the travel bubble.
Wuhan.
Oh, well, yes, it is virus.
I would like to go. I want to go swim in that wave pool in Wuhan.
Yeah, with no mask on.
Somebody send me a ticket. I'll go to Wuhan. And that's, yeah. Yes, definitely. And a problem that you had in Australia, obviously, with your ban, is that the only people who are going to get exemptions are essentially the rich and powerful, the politicians and the media and other very important people, or rather self-important people. They will have a much easier time getting these exemptions. And that certainly is not a good policy. Certainly happy to have incredibly restricted borders, good border controls, quarantine people at the borders, all of that is great, no objections, but certainly locking people inside your own country, not a good policy, even though in your Australian, in the case of the Australians, you're not exactly unlucky to be locked inside Australia. It's not a morally correct policy to have.
Well, WA's hard border closure meant that you had to get an exemption from the WA government. They allowed Kerry Stokes, who owns Channel 7 and all the West Australian newspapers and some of the mines there in WA, a special exemption, I guess, maybe because the Premier Mark McGowan needs the support of 7 Network Perth and all the West Australian newspapers to get re-elected next year, but denied Clive Palmer an exemption, even though Clive can go there from midnight tonight. Mark McGowan told him to be respectful.
He should be there at midnight. He should be standing there outside.
Now, speaking of China, there's further developments in Hong Kong with the pro-democracy MPs leaving, and apparently this is
leaving, they're being kicked out, right?
That's
the problem. Yeah. They're being expelled from the Hong Kong, it's not a parliament, but some kind of ruling, some kind of formal parliament that they have. Hmm.
And Australia and New Zealand, the pinnacle of human rights and freedoms in 2020, have expressed their outrage at this.
Certainly, we have had our foreign minister has come out actually last week, one of the first things our foreign minister said, and I'm just bringing up her name because I cannot remember it. Nanaia Mahuta, she stated about how much China cares about diversity. That's what she said last week. She tweeted that out and saying her comments about how great, how important diversity is to China. Today, she seems to have had an improved pre-written statement there to say that Aotearoa, New Zealand, is deeply concerned at the latest developments that have eroded the fundamental rights and freedoms of the people of Hong Kong. Freedom of expression and the right to elect representation is essential to the stability and prosperity of Hong Kong. And the only parliamentary leader in New Zealand who cares anything at all about liberties and freedom of speech and expression in New Zealand is David Seymour, although I have many other differences with him, of course. He has a good smackdown here, or he specifically calls her out on this, because our new foreign minister is talking about fundamental rights for Hong Kong, such as freedom of expression, which obviously includes speech, but yet New Zealand government is having a crackdown on free speech, where they have stated that this term they will pass a form of hate speech. So free speech, freedoms for Hong Kong, but no freedoms for you.
Yes, and even when there was another crackdown on demonstrations, or what is it? I can't remember what it was. There's always a new sort of human rights breach in Hong Kong. It's not uncommon. Even Daniel Andrews said he was appalled by this crackdown on human rights and free speech.
Oh no. Sometimes they're no longer capable of detecting irony, and there aren't enough people left in the media to pick up on the irony and to beat them over the head with it, sadly.
So, I mean, where Australia and New Zealand are hardly people to judge China on human rights anymore. Obviously, we should be concerned about China as a threat to our geopolitical stability, but in terms of trying to have a human rights competition with China at the moment, we're not exactly in the pure pure good space.
No, certainly. And obviously, historically as well, we have turned a blind eye to much of what China has done. And the only time it gets called out is when it is politically expedient. So, well, we are getting to the end of this show. I did say I was going to wrap it up early. So unless we have any last minute super chats, I think
we do here.
Wrap it up. Very good.
We've got a $15 US super chat from Diano Marsden. Gin and tonic is a fine choice. These are weird times, my guys. Keep up the good work. Keep a keen eye on the million mega march. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you very much. And that will be an interesting event in the United States as are the other developments. Of course, it will be a few weeks before they wrap it up. And as we have said last week, anything can happen and it's not over until it's over.
Exactly. The Electoral College doesn't meet until mid-December and no states have certified their results yet. So we'll see how the auditing of the votes stack up. But no, Joe Biden is not officially president-elect, just because our Prime Minister Scott Morrison telephoned him to congratulate him. Scott, like the decision desk, Scott Morrison doesn't decide who's president-elect.
And in New Zealand as well, not just Jacinda Ardern, but also Judith Collins and even David Seymour congratulated Joe Biden on his victory. Obviously, the usual correct political signaling going on there, and that is to be expected from politicians. Well, that's
Judith
it.
Collins, she has survived so far.
She has survived. She was re-elected as well, and there was a new deputy leader for the National Party, which you may point out, Shane Retty, who lost his seat in either Northland or Whangarei. I'm not sure which one, but somewhere up north. I'm an Aucklander, so I don't really know what's up anywhere outside of Auckland. Sorry, guys. But he did lose his seat, but because of MMP, he was able to come in on the stay in Parliament on the National Party list, and he is now the new leader, and he is a doctor. Deputy leader, and he is a doctor as well. So they picked sort of the right man for the times.
So, all right.
Well, yes, very good. That is it. Thank you for tuning in to this show. As always, you can find more of me on rightminds.nz. At the moment, there's at least an article a week. And we obviously have this show every single Friday. And I do hope that we I'll have some plans for the end of the year and next year. But you may hear more of those when those happen. But until then, see you next week. And thank you very much for tuning in, everyone. It's been a good show.
Yep. And of course, yeah, you can catch up on all the latest Unshackled publications and productions, theunshackled.net, and I'll be next back for Wilmsfront, 7 p.m. Wednesday on YouTube and DLive. But until then, have a good weekend. To my fellow Victorians, please make the most of your newfound freedoms that our dear leader has granted us, and when the interstate borders open, be like me and consider your options about whether you want to stay.
Very well. Stay safe and stay free. We will see you all next week.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's edition of Trad Tasman Talk. To keep up with the latest real news and analysis from the Tasman Nations, visit theunshackled.net and rightminds.nz.